Hi, this is Debbie Voiles, coach at Mojo for Running, with episode number 138, Base Miles. Welcome to the Mojo for Running podcast. I'm the coach, Debbie Voiles, and this is the podcast for middle of the packers, regular people not afraid to work up a sweat, who embrace the outdoors and that wonderful feeling of endorphins surging through their veins. My goal is to provide the information you need to achieve your goals. Base miles. How many miles should you run? This is the question, right? The question. How far do you need to run each day, each week, each month to be fit, to become a better runner, to be able to run farther, and to prevent injury? In this podcast, I'll look at all of the above. Before we get to that, several quick announcements. One, if you're looking to do your first 5K, 10K, or half marathon, or to polish each one, make it better, move to a higher level, I've got you covered with my online coaching program. I often receive emails from people who'd like to hire me to coach them, but I don't even do individualized coaching locally because I'm just too busy with running Run Tampa. But I do have an extensive online program, and you can even check it out with a free trial. It's at coaching.mojoforrunning.com. You pay one price for a whole year of access to all the programs, or you can pay for each program individually. It's only $35 for each individual program right now, or $55 for all of them. So check it out. Again, it's coaching.mojoforrunning.com. Two, remember, this podcast is funded by my Patreon account. Patreon is a crowdfunding platform used mainly by creative types like musicians, poets, and coaches to provide an easy way for listeners, in this case listeners, to support their endeavors. In my case, you can sign on to commit a certain amount, which will be charged to your credit card each time I publish an episode. It's a great way to support this podcast and keep it coming. If I don't publish one, say, for whatever time frame, you don't get charged. Your promise, your commitment can be as little as $1. Here's the way to look at it. If you would buy me a cup of coffee, if this podcast is worth that to you, then maybe you could make a commitment of a dollar or several dollars per episode. Go to Patreon, that's patreon.com/coachdeb. And I'll also put that URL in the show notes. Three is a reminder to stop by the Mojo for Running Facebook page. And if you're on Instagram, please follow me there at Mojo for Running. And you might also want to follow at Run Tampa to see what we're doing, what my club is doing locally. I do the posting for Mojo for Running, and my Run Tampa executive assistant, Lauren, posts for Run Tampa. And last, my son, Ben Voiles, recently launched a podcast called The Internal Work. They explore the intricacies of human emotion, focusing attention on the ways in which we all feel and understand our internal worlds and, in turn, how we move within the external world. I hope you'll give it a listen. And of particular interest to runners is episode number 3 about confidence. I'll put a link to that in the show notes. Now, let's talk about your base. That's what we call your mileage, your total mileage. In a previous episode, not too far back, I discussed macrocycles and microcycles. In general, when you start a cycle, you build your base of miles with gentle, stressless miles. Then, as the weeks progress toward your goal race, your training becomes more structured. You add in some speed work, and as the race gets closer, your speed work becomes more race-specific, and your mileage decreases. Then you taper. Listen to episodes 134 and 135 to learn more about that, micro and macro cycles. So how does that relate to an overall discussion of mileage, of how many miles you should do? First of all, if you're planning on hiring a coach, you will do well to go ahead and focus on building a good base before that schedule starts. The better your base, the better in other words, when I say better your base, I mean the greater number of miles you average from week to week, the better the result from a well-designed schedule, or in other words, the better you will be able to maximize the benefit of a good schedule. If you have a good schedule created by a qualified coach, then you should be good to go. But many people, probably 98% of runners, don't have a coach, or They're what you call self-coached, which still isn't having a coach. The two episodes I just referenced can be enormously helpful to the self-coached runner. I'd say 98% of runners who don't have a coach fall into three categories. One is the frequent racer. Basically, that person stays in shape all year and does a race every few weeks. Some do it once a month, others do one every weekend, and still others do a few a year, but do them more for the experience and don't really want to be tied down to a strict schedule. I think this is all fine if you don't have your heart set on regular PRs. And most people fitting the description understand that if they want to do their best running, run their best races, and have their best performances, they need to utilize periodization, episode 134, and macro cycles, episode 135. But they're willing to sacrifice PRs to enjoy the excitement of racing a lot. I totally get that. Sometimes the race itself is the goal. Sometimes it's getting more medals. Sometimes it's just being with people, the energy of a race. I completely get that. The second category consists of runners who very much want to PR, but they're just trying to do it on their own. For those people, it's absolutely essential that they utilize periodization, the macro and micro cycles I've been talking about. And also, they must understand the basic principles of running training, not doing two hard days in a row, and making sure they include an extra long run, preferably around once a week, but maybe a little more. And I'll talk about that later a little bit more. All these people will benefit from a discussion of mileage because while their schedule will stipulate exactly what to do, those runners will be better off and more likely to buy into their schedules and execute them well if they understand why they're designed as they are. After interacting with thousands of runners, my impression is that most runners don't run enough. And when they fall short of their goals, that's one of the most common, easily identifiable, and easily corrected training errors. People want to believe they'll succeed with a minimum number of miles, and it just tends not to happen. If your goal is to stay in shape to do 5Ks on a regular basis, then I'd absolutely be sure to average 20 miles a week. Your training pattern might look something like this: 6 miles on Saturday, 4 miles on Sunday, 3 on Tuesday and Thursday, and 4 on Wednesday. Remember, as I've discussed many times, you don't want to do the same thing every day. You want to alternate between hard and easy days, and hard is defined as either long or fast, but not both, not for most people, not until you're at a different level. And you want to have one longer run each week, or it could be like every 10 days. Now, let's back up a little bit. I said, just as an example, I said 6 on Saturday and 4 on Sunday. And when I write schedules for people, almost always those are interchangeable. So it could be 4 on Saturday and 6 on Sunday. But anyway, that's just an example. There's an infinite number of ways you could make up an appropriate schedule. Now, 20 is a minimum. I would definitely encourage you to work for 25. Why do you need to run more miles? Well, let's look at the list of questions I presented at the beginning. How many miles do you need to run to be fit? Well, of course, be fit is a vague term, right? But if you just want to get healthy or healthier, then yes, you can do less than 20. But to have a good level of fitness, I think you want to exercise 30 to 45 minutes on most days. And I would probably say 5 days a week or 6. Let's say, just as an example, you manage to train 40 minutes 5 days. That's 200 minutes. If you're running, and let's pick a random pace of 10 minutes a mile, that's 20 miles. To become a better runner, in general, it's accepted that until your base is 25 miles per week, that's the number one most effective way to improve. Just by getting in more miles, not by running more fast miles, but just by running more miles, more easy miles. Yep. Everybody wants a shortcut, and there are some other ways to improve, but this is the most effective. It's the most basic, and I would say the most important. That's right. Let's stop here a minute and dispel a common misunderstanding, and that is that the more miles you run, the more likely you are to get injured. If you build up your mileage too fast, you'll certainly get injured. But if you do it gradually and listen to your body, Running more miles, if they are gentle miles, will actually protect against injury. Of course, this assumes you are running with good form and that your body weight is good. Anytime you're carrying extra weight, if it's more than a few pounds, then that is going to always be harder on your body. So that would require sticking with more walking for a while. But otherwise, increasing mileage will guard against injury. But of course, there's a lot more that plays into it. And that's for another podcast. And by that, I mean, for example, running form. Building your base, as we call it, means you will be able to run farther, more comfortably, and successfully. And no amount of cross-training or weight training or healthy eating will make up for running more miles. And I might add, as a part of it, if this is your goal, you must have one run about each week or at least every other week that is longer than the rest. Now, I've said that three times. That's because it's important. The more miles you run total and the longer the once weekly long run, the more endurance you'll build. That's all there is to it. You'll never have the endurance to be as comfortable at half marathons until you get used to doing that distance or farther on a regular basis. In fact, if a runner wants to really specialize in halves, as many do, I always say the best way to improve your mental attitude for a half is to do a full. Then by contrast, a half never seems as daunting, but I digress. However, this does relate to the long run because running longer runs will help you be prepared to run shorter runs. So that's why, you know, some people think they can go out and run a 5K, and as long as they can do 5Ks or do several 5Ks a week in training, they'll be ready to run a 5K and that they can keep improving. Really, you need to be running way more than a 5K in your weekly long run, and then that 5K will be a much shorter distance, and your body will be more prepared to do it. But there's a lot more that goes into it. But I just want to impress you with the idea that if no matter what distance you plan to run, you need to train with longer distances, and that'll help in many ways. By the same token, once you've successfully trained for a full, it'll always be easier to stay in shape for a half. Now, by successfully, I mean running a marathon after following a sensible training regimen. Think about it. If you run enough, the act of running becomes like walking. People wonder, how in the world does anyone become an ultra runner? Well, over time, they get their body, and by that I mean their fueling system, their muscles and bones, and perhaps most importantly, their mind, adjusting to doing lots of miles. The more you do, the less stress you feel with each mile. And if you train properly, applying the overload method and pushing your body a little farther every few days or even every other day and then giving it time to recover, it will gradually and consistently get stronger. I touched on how running more miles should not result in injury a few moments ago. Let's dig a bit deeper into that. Another reason to run is to prevent injury. You may think that doesn't make sense. Run more to get injured less? Yes. Like I just said, running more miles, if you build up gradually, makes every mile less stress on the body. It's like putting money in the bank, insurance against injury. Of course, this only works if you increase mileage gradually. My recommendation is to build up 1 week, then fall back the next week. Maybe you build up by 10% a week for 2 weeks, and then drop back by 30% for a rest week. There are a lot of different ways to do it. This gives your body time to recover, though. That's why you really need you have a fallback between build-up weeks, helping your body to recover and gain strength. You can experiment with this. Maybe you do 35 on your big week, drop back to 30 your next week, and drop back to 25 the next. That way you're averaging 30, but you get your body to tolerate 35, but let it have a sweet, easy, shorter, lower mileage week after that. There are many ways to do it, but listen to your body and don't do the same thing week after week. That's boring. Be patient. Don't rush it. Your patience will be rewarded. Now, when I'm talking about like switching between 35, 30, and 25, something like that, remember, when you get to the point of having a schedule, it will be very specific and tell you what to do. But I'm talking about, say, a period of a month or 2 months when you're just working on building your base. So you can go up and down like that, and I think you'll find great success. There are infinite possibilities of patterns for building up mileage or for preparing for races. But whatever you do, you'll need a reasonable base. You can't train mileage for strength training or cross training. You can get by with fewer miles, some fewer, than was once considered necessary, if you do a fair amount of cross-training. But you do still need to build a good base and never forego the once weekly long run or every 10 days. Do not try to cut that corner. Oh, if you miss a long run 1 week once in a while or stretch it out to 2 weeks, that's fine. But do focus on those long runs as an integral part of the process. Now, I know many are saying, I just can't get in that many miles. I only have 3 hours a week to run. I totally get that. For years, I had 2 school-age kids, and I was an English teacher and a high school swim coach. During that time, my running was just meditation time and fitness maintenance, which was good and fine and essential and helpful. That may be true of you, too, at this time in your life. Lots of people have families and work responsibilities, and the two leave little time. I get that. And you know what? Maybe you can't change that right now. Maybe you have to just accept that for now. Maybe even for the next several years. That's okay. It's actually appropriate. But just don't simultaneously expect improvement. Be content with maintaining for now. Be content with letting running help you deal with whatever stress you have in your life and keep you physically fit. Run when you can, but modify your expectations accordingly. Be realistic, though. Many people think they don't have time to run. But if I was to ask them, what are your favorite TV shows? They'd have a list of 6 to 8. Let's just take 6. Let's say it's 6 30-minute programs. That's at least 3 hours worth. Time for 18 miles at a 10-minute-per-mile pace. Add to that, say, 2 hours of time on the weekend when most people's schedules are a little more flexible, and that's 30 miles. Now, I get it. You may be saying, hey, I need downtime. I get it. Only you know if you really have time or don't. And yes, everybody does need downtime, and there's nothing wrong with sitting there watching TV for a few hours a week because that's when you relax. Really, I get it. I just point this out because it's really easy to accidentally lose the numbers of hours in a week that would be just what you need to run. You just need balance. And sometimes when you have a lot of pressure on you and you have a lot of things going on in your life, maybe you have kids, sometimes you really don't have enough time. But I'm just encouraging you to be realistic, step back, and look at everything. And a quick comment here. Remember, if you're a parent, part of your role is to set an example. What's more important to teach your kids than fitness? In an age of obese children and an epidemic of diabetes, if you put in the time to stay fit, they'll learn to follow your lead. I encourage you to get them to be a part of your fitness journey. I've done a podcast about getting your family involved. The point is that nothing can take the place of mileage, and speed is irrelevant. Not in the overall big picture, but I mean, you shouldn't be worried about going fast. You should be just focused on getting in some comfortable, pleasant miles. What I mean is going fast should not be the point during that time. I would say easy runs, you should always plan on at least 80% of your running miles being conversational, comfortable, easy running miles. When we talk about building your base, we're talking about running at an easy pace. And by this, I mean conversational. So when I say conversational, and I've said that a few times, I mean able to talk in complete sentences. Figure out what that pace is. Most of you probably have a watch that will tell you that. Then, when you go out for a run, set an alarm on your watch to go off any time you go faster than that pace. This will go a long way towards improving your running fitness by helping you log safe, easy, protective miles. If you're like me, when I get into a conversation, I accidentally speed up. Now, I don't do what I just said. I don't set my watch to be an alarm, but what usually is my alarm is my best buddy that I run with, and she always will say, hey, you're getting faster, and then I slow back down. Yes, I call them protective miles because building a better base of comfortable, easy miles helps you avoid injury when you go harder, either when doing speed work or racing. Run easy miles for a few months and you'll have a good base, which will set you up for great success with even a small amount of speed work. And let me add one more consideration. If you have time to run even 1 mile, get out there and do it. So many people won't go for a run unless they can get in at least 3. But if you look at the whole week or month or year, That's a lot of missed miles if you skip all the days when you could only have time for one or two. If you're not getting in enough miles, then catching one or two here or there is far better than nothing. If your schedule is that crazy, then take what you can get. Maybe you need to buy a treadmill so you can get in the miles at night at home or before work. Then do it. That may be the best money you've ever spent. You can train on a treadmill during the week and then get outside and enjoy two good training runs on the weekend. That's fine. Some runners will tell you a treadmill is not good. It's not as good. Well, no, it's not. But it's a gazillion times better than not running. If you can run on a treadmill when you can't run outside, please do it. Be sensible and find a way to build your miles. The point of this podcast is just to get you to realize that building a base is essential to improving and avoiding injury as a runner. Here's an idea. Tell yourself that once you get home from work, you cannot check social media a single time until you get in your run. The message is that by hook or by crook, you must build a healthy base. You don't have to run that many miles year-round, but at least a couple of times a year, you need to spend 2 or 3 months concentrating on just building your base. You'll find that all the other elements of your training suddenly start to work better, and you'll notice a big difference in the effectiveness of the rest of your training cycles. Don't try to get by without this if your focus is on maximizing improvement or even just scoring a PR a couple times a year. This will make a huge difference. Okay, a reminder. Have you seen our documentary about runners over 50, The Human Race? It features myself and several of my Run Tampa runners and running icon, Catherine Switzer, as well as a couple of other really amazing, incredibly inspirational runners. No matter what your age, I guarantee it will motivate you to lace up your shoes and go for a run. I've had people tell me they bought it just to watch, or one reason they wanted to buy it instead of just renting it is that they want to be able to watch it anytime they need motivation. It will forever change the way you look at your future running years, understanding that you can continue to run right into your 80s. I just turned 66 yesterday, and you know what? I feel like I'm 25. I am not kidding. And my knees are fantastic. They're, you know, just forget that thing about your knees getting ruined by running. But I feel wonderful. I feel like I can do just about anything. Some of the people featured in this film are just everyday runners who started running in their 60s, 70s, and 80s. Yet, when they enter a race, they're finishing ahead of people half their age and with more comfort because they're training wisely. One of the featured Run Tampa runners is Rio Rita Gown. We call her Rio. She started running when she was in her late 50s, when she was diagnosed with hypertension. Now, at age 62, she's done 40 half marathons and 2 full marathons. I'll put a picture of Rio in the show notes, and I hope you'll get to meet her by watching The Human Race, which is available on Amazon and Apple and many other channels. Or come to one of our runs sometime when you're in the Tampa Bay area, and you might get to meet her and the other 5 women that are featured. Don't forget to go to patreon.com/CoachDeb to pledge $1 or so per episode to support this podcast. I'll put that link in the show notes. Now, and also, please remember to check out my son's podcast, The Internal Work. Now, today's quote. It's short, but so perfect. It's from Desiree Linden. Keep showing up. That's all there is to it. Seriously, the biggest part of reaching your goal is to keep showing up. And that's a foreshadowing of an episode coming up soon.